welcome. Yay, look at all you lovely people. I don't get this perspective very often up on the stage. So we have been doing this series called Conversations in Prayer, on Prayer. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed it. It's been an interesting change from having one person stand up, which is always nice, and tell, you know, what God has given them for the week and what their experience is, but also to get to, in this different format, to get to sort of be a part of a conversation about prayer and even meet somebody who we don't always know. We've met some fun people, so this has been really good. I was wondering if that was going to mess up the sound. Thank you. Oh, yes, thank you. You're going to, it's going to be good. So we've talked about our challenges and struggles and different practices of prayer during this series. And today I get to introduce you to Carolyn Caldwell, who's become a good friend of Nathan and I's. We actually met sort of a low point for Nathan and I. We had just started the church and actually just gotten this building. So in some ways, things were going really well, but we were also about to lose our home and on the verge of being without a home and with nowhere to go. And Oliver was a little older than Harvey at the time, and we were sort of in a free fall. And really just so much of what we've done in starting this church was our belief, was built on our belief that God's church is good for something and is important in the world and needs to be lived out in communities. And so the cool thing about our story is that we threw ourselves at the mercy of the church, and the church caught us. So Darwin, Carolyn's husband, was a pastor of Jefferson Avenue Baptist Church at the time, and they had a parsonage. A parsonage is a home that a church has that is often used maybe for the home of the pastor of the church, sometimes for other ministers, and often for missionaries while they're on furlough, when they're taking a break from wherever they are working. They get a break and they get to live somewhere for a temporary place and not worry about, you know, arranging temporary housing. So they made that little house available to us for that time, and that became our home for 4 months. And through that time and continuing into today, you guys have been such an encouragement to us. And one of the things that was so evident to us when we met both of you is your walk with God. And that is something that is we have benefited from knowing you, and we wanted to share that with our church. So I'm so glad you're here today. Did you want to say anything before we jump into questions?
We certainly did enjoy having you in our...
I think you're on, but you just got to put it
okay,
right there.
This one.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fun.
We certainly enjoyed having you. And Oliver was the only one you had, mm-hmm. and we fell in love with him immediately. He's just so good. But and this house has been used over and over again for different people, missionaries. Sometimes they would just spend the night looking for their flight the next morning. But everyone that went in there, we prayed that God would bless them and that this house would be a blessing to them. And I think it has been.
It certainly, definitely has been. So cool. So it's beautiful what you can do when you just give whatever you have to God, whatever that is. So let's get into some questions. What, Carolyn, for you, what does prayer mean to you?
Well, I've never known a time when prayer wasn't very important to me, because I was raised in a Christian home. My mother and daddy and my sister, we prayed daily with each other. And I'll tell you a little story, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
When I was about, I guess I was about 5 years old, we would gather at night, and Daddy would read a Bible story to us and then explain it to us, and then we would pray. And we'd start off with Daddy, and he knew everybody in the world. He prayed and prayed and prayed. And then the ones that he left out, my mother took over, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and my sister did. And when it became time for me, they couldn't find me. I was under the bed just sound asleep. And they had to drag me out. And my prayers were short, And I've often wondered, why did they do that? Why didn't God let me go first? Because my attention span was about like that. And over the years, I've discovered that Daddy was teaching us a principle. He was the head of our house. He was the leader of our family. And he wanted us to hear him pray every day. And those times are precious to me. My daddy died when I was only 10. And I long for the time that I could just hear him pray again. I don't care how long he prayed. I would listen now. But that's what prayer means to me. It's just talking to God, just telling him what you think, what you feel. And no formula, no confess your sins and thank God and do this and that. Sometimes it's just a quick prayer. But it's just getting in touch with God.
Yeah. What does the practice of prayer look like for you in your life right now? How does that?
Well, right now, as you can tell, I'm older than that little five-year-old girl. And I have children and grandchildren. And Darwin has been pastor of a church. So our prayer life has changed considerably during that time. But we still pray. We pray every morning and every night together out loud. At first, that was uncomfortable for both of us because I thought prayer was a private thing and you just went to God. And but to hear your husband pray out loud to God and pray for you means a lot to me. And he prays for me. So that's what prayer means for me today.
That's good. Has it changed? You mentioned like you've had lots of seasons in your life, and how have you seen prayer change through those seasons for you?
Well, I think we have people at every stage of life in here right now. When we first started out, I have to tell you this story. We slipped off from high school one day and got married. We were 17 and 18. And, you know, prayer has really played a great part in us. And that's the way we started out. We prayed that God would lead us through our lives. And evidently, it was okay with God that we married because we've been married 63 years
all
now.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we haven't had our ups and downs. And it doesn't mean that I wanted to kill him sometimes and he wanted to run away from home from me. But through all of it, in our stages of life, we raised four children. Darwin went to school and seminary after all of our children were born. And two of them were in high school when he went to college. And we struggled, and we felt like this is where God wanted us, so that's what we did. And then now that we're older and we have grandchildren and we just the two of us again, prayer is still very important to us. And we spend more and more time together in prayer right now than we ever have. We don't know what our next step in life will be. Darwin has just recently retired, the 31st of January, July, December. And we don't know what God wants us to do, but we're willing. And God has certainly blessed us all these years, so he has a plan for us. Last Sunday, we visited a small church. We're not staying at our church right now. We stepped away so that they can find a new pastor, and then we'll go back. We're still members there. But last Sunday, we went to a church in East Point, quite small. I think they had six in their little choir. They had 17 or so in Sunday school. The congregation was about half the size of this. And two people came to know the Lord that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so God can use you at any stage in your life. We just thanked him. When we drove up in the parking lot of the church, we said, Lord, use us today and let us be a blessing to people. I always want to do that. And in turn, God really blessed us. To see those the young couple go up and say they wanted to give their lives to the Lord. So the size of your church, the location doesn't matter. It's where your heart is. And yeah. Prayer certainly plays a part in that.
Yeah. So I'm hearing a lot of there's intentional time of prayer, but also just which leads into, I guess, an ongoing checking in with God and really a reordering of where your focus is. So you show up at church and before you go in, you're praying for God to use you. I love that. What have you learned about God or yourself or even prayer through these years of practicing prayer?
Well, like I say, it's changed over the years, and we pray differently than we ever did. We've been to a lot of seminars and things that will tell you how to pray. You know, you're supposed to confess your sins. You're supposed to thank God and praise Him and then pray for Him, other people. But there are times in your life when you don't have time for that. For instance... When you're going down the expressway and a car just pulls out in front of you, you don't have time to say, "Oh, God, I confess all my sins." You just say, "God, help me. Let me move that car." We had it's funny now, but it certainly wasn't funny then. When about a couple of years ago, Darwin and I were working on one of the buses at the church, and it was kind of dark and the lights had not come on yet, and we were walking across the parking lot to the church, to the bus, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden he hit the ground face first. The pavement was uneven, and he just went face first, there's another time I didn't have time to confess my sins, although I was scared to death. And all I could do was just put my hand on him and say, "Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God." But, you know, that was probably the most sincere prayer I ever prayed. I didn't say anything but the name of God, and he heard me. And Darwin was all bloody and messed up and didn't break anything. But he had a black eye for two or three days. And, of course, the people at church had a lot of fun out of that because they said, "I knew she was going to get you one day." But I said all of that to say you don't have to, it doesn't have to be formal with God. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows what's inside of you, and he knows the sin that's there. And certainly he wants us to confess our sins. But when that time comes that we just need to call out to him, he's there, and he will be there. And I love that. But I refer to this incident a lot of times, and I just think, boy, I was scared to death. But God knew that, and he helped me.
I love that. That brings out sincere prayers when you are really frightened. So during this series, we've talked about some of the common struggles that all of us have at different times with prayer. You know, those times where you're praying and it just feels like nothing's happening. And, you know, people say the prayers are hitting the ceiling. They're not going anywhere. Or when you are praying fervently for something and God doesn't answer your prayer or not the way you were hoping for. So what is your experience then with some of those? And then, what are you learning about that?
I want to say God answers every prayer. Sometimes he said, "Okay, we'll go that way. We'll do that." Sometimes he says, "No." Sometimes he said, "Wait a while." And I love the fourth place better. He just says, "Boy, have I got something in store for you." And it's not anything like what I wanted, how I wanted it to turn out. But God always answers your prayer. And I talked with a lady not long ago, and she says, "God just doesn't answer my prayer." And I said, "Well, how do you say that? And she said, I've prayed fervently for that. I know I need this. And he just doesn't give it to me. And I said, do you think that God's saying no? Does he think, you think he's saying, wait a while? And she said, but I prayed. And we don't use God as a magic something or other, you know. We bring our list to him, and you're bound, Lord, to do this for me. We have to just be patient and wait on him. And this brings me to my favorite verse. You asked me for that. My favorite verse is in Psalm 43:10. Be still and know that I am God, and recognizing him. And I noticed the songs that we sang this morning. He's more than enough. Amen. For us. And God knows us. He knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. I have prayed to God several times. I said, God, if you'll just give me $1 million, I can just do so much for you. And I got a definite no on that, by the way. But sometimes we do think we know best. And so, God, you do this for me, and everything will be all right. But it doesn't.
One more question. If you could go back in time to young Carolyn and give her advice about prayer and walking with God, what would you say to her?
I would tell her to be patient, and that is something that I don't do very well. I grew up praying. I grew up with a praying family, and everything that we did, you know, was geared around God. And so I thought, when I prayed, he's going to do this for me, but not so. And I'm so thankful that he didn't give me some of the things that I asked for. I would have been a mess and messed up my whole family. In my case, we grew up kind of poor, and we had absolutely nothing when we started out. And God just saw us through the hard times, the good times, and blessed us because we were faithful. And so if I could take a page out of my life and just say, this is what I should have done, I should have just been more patient, relaxed, and said, just God, it's up to you. You do what you want to with me. I'm willing. You know, Jesus did that right before he went to the cross. He said, I don't want to do this, Lord. This is paraphrased. This is not biblical. If there's some other way, let's do it that way. But he came to the conclusion that nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. And I think that that's what I would change in my life. Mm-hmm. And so the things that God allowed to happen have grown me. But I'm not there yet. And I won't be until I see him face to face.
Good stuff. We also want to give time to, if people have questions, we have a few minutes for that, I think. If anybody has questions they want to ask Carolyn. We've been talking about prayer for 3 weeks. We've asked a lot of questions.
Oh, one more thing. When our children were small, and we always prayed at the table together. We prayed with our children every day. But before we ate, we thanked God for our food. And we would hold hands. And that was not out of reverence. That was to keep them from going ahead and eating before we said my prayer. And we closed our eyes. And, of course, you pray with your eyes open. I have a lot of times. But we did that again because we wanted to teach them to shut out everything and just focus on God and what he's going to do with you. I remember one time we were praying at the table, and when we got through, one of our girls looked at me and said, She didn't close her eyes. Well, how did you know? She was the one that was the judge.
She had her eyes open, yeah. Yeah. That's fun. Okay.
Well, there's been two or three times, but one is particularly when we, Darwin had been working for the railroad for about 10 years. We had all four daughters, and God called us into the ministry at that time. We were 28 years old, had never been to college, never been to seminary, never got all our education that we thought we should have. Those were trying times, hard times. He quit his job. We had no money. It was just a day-by-day thing with us. And, you know, I think when looking back on that, that was probably the best time in our lives because we depended entirely upon the Lord. At one time, we were in a church in Bonifay, Florida. We were in school. And we just didn't have any money. We just didn't have anything. And when we got in the car, that nobody locked their cars, by the way, back then. And when we got in the car, there was two rolls of dimes, you know, like when you used to roll up dimes or you know, coins. We never found out who gave that. We asked people around, and they'd say, no, it wasn't me. And I know who did it. It's God. He knew that we needed that. We got to pay our bills. We tithed our money. There was just lots of things we did. But God comes through at the most unexpected time. Mm-hmm. And I'm writing a little journal. It's sort of like a little book of things that's happened to us during the years. And that's going to be in my book about the two rolls of dimes and how far it went and what all we could do with it. Back then, gas was 21 cents a gallon. Can you believe it? You can't even get a drop for 21 cents. But God comes through. He will. Just be patient, and he'll come through, and it'll be in a most unexpected way. That was very unexpected for us.
Sharon, did you have a question?
I was going to ask, can you think of a time when, but you really kind of already illustrated it, of a really dramatic answer to prayer, like a miraculous answer, and then can you give an example of
well, I don't remember any one real dramatic thing, but looking back on our lives, when he quit his job with the railroad, we packed up everything we had and took off to college. We didn't even have a place to live. That was a dramatic time. But at the time, we just said, that's what God wants us to do, and we did it. And looking over those years, we didn't have any money. A lot of times there was hardly any food on the table. But we just kept trusting every day. And I think that would be a most dramatic thing in our lives.
Did you have a question, Daryl?
Yes, I read that you say that you used to leave your car doors open. And I tell people that I caught the tail end of all of that. I remember back in the days, you could leave your front door open. And the woman's up, and you could be all the way in Europe
Absolutely.
He supported that.
She didn't need any encouragement. She knew what to do, didn't she? Praise God. Praise God for mothers like that.
Carolyn, you mentioned, and I'm asking you this because I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but you mentioned that you keep a prayer journal. Mm-hmm. Is that, and you were going to say something about how you organize that, I think. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
First of all, I see a need for a prayer journal because people will ask you to pray for them, and I'll say, sure, I will, and then I forget it. So if I don't write it down and intend to, I call mm-hmm. that intentional prayer. They asked me to, and I'm going to. I used to organize my prayer journal as according to days. First day of the week is Sunday, and I pray for our church and the church members. And this comes back to me from when my daddy used to pray for the whole world. I pray for a lot of people this way. On Monday, I pray for our family, all our family members. On Tuesday, I pray for the sick. Wednesday, I pray for the missionaries. Thursday, I pray for. I've forgotten now what Thursday is. That's a catch-up day. And then Friday and Saturday, I pray. I look over my journal and I think, you know, I haven't prayed for this person today. I'm going to pray for them again. And so. I kind of organize it according to days. Now, that doesn't mean that if you want me to pray for you, you have to wait till Wednesday. You just hang on. I'll pray for you Wednesday. But that's just a reminder.
I like that, yeah.
It's a reminder for me to pray.
And it's a good good rhythm. Yeah.
I'd like to hear about your turn.
Okay, well, we'll move into that. So try to sit up without making. Okay, I'm not going to move. I know. This is not helpful. Okay. So what I wanted to emphasize today, we've talked about, different prayer practices, which I think is really helpful to experiment with those, because one of the things that's helpful is to find the thing that really helps you to connect to God. And it's not the same for everybody. And it's not the same in every season of your life. So there are seasons where reading through the Psalms and praying through those can be very meaningful, and other seasons where you just want to put it down and walk away because it's just doing nothing. And so finding different practices that are helpful to you is important. But what I wanted to emphasize really is just how important it is just to find time to pray. In the story that George read at the beginning of the service, I don't know if we heard the first line very well because kids were coming in and out. But the line was that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And then it follows with this story of Jesus healing somebody, standing up to the religious leaders of the time who were the recognized authority on God. and standing up to them, and really his ability to see and know people, to take the time to see and know people, is all of that is built on this practice of often withdrawing to lonely places to pray. And so I wanted to emphasize today that the, just the importance of having, carving out time, whatever you need to do to, and maybe it's not every day, to do that, to sit with God, you know, to, I know for my life, I can't go out into the world and do hard things and do things that matter very well if I haven't first taken the time to sit with God. And really to hold up to God, this is, you know, these are my priorities, these are my plans, these are my great ideas, and these are the things that I'm mad or angry, you know, all those things. These are the things I'm sad about. But even in not necessarily hearing direct answers to each thing, but just in the sitting with these before God, there is something that in that that I feel like God reorders our life. And reorders the way we think about things when we have this regular practice of doing that. So what I wanted to share is, for me, I do not do very well just sitting and praying because I get distracted really fast, and I guess I want to do something. And so what I have found to be the best way for me to connect to God is to just write down my prayers, just writing down the words, is how my brain works. It's how I think, it's how I write sermons. It's how I do all of that stuff, is I have to write it out. And so that might be something that's helpful, for you to try, is writing out your prayers. And the cool thing that does is then you have this thing to go back on. 'Cause I think, you know, we get really busy and God answers a prayer and then we move on 'cause we've got other problems, right? Other things God's got to take care of. And so having this journal gives me a way to, every now and then my prayer time will be just going back and reading through some of the things that I, you know, at one time was just really struggling over or afraid or sad about, and going back and reading through and seeing how God is, because often I think God's answers to our prayers are not an instantly, there's your answer, but they kind of trickle in into your life over time. And so I think that's a way for me to, go back to God and say, oh, thank you. You have answered my prayers. And it's just, sometimes it is not all at once. Sometimes it is a trickling thing. And so that's helpful for me. So that's what I do. And sometimes I draw, but usually I write. So what I wanted to do is, we have been closing with actually doing a prayer practice. And we won't do this for very long, but I wanted to give everybody a chance. Did we get note? Where's Marquette? Everybody got note cards. Okay, I think everybody got note cards. So I wanted to give all of us a chance to just see what that is like, to just write your prayers out to God for a few minutes, and then, you know, tell God what you're grateful for or what is on your mind, what's weighing heavily on your mind these days. But let's take a few minutes to do that before we close. And I'll close us with a prayer. I didn't get a pen or a paper for us. And we have a few other people. Yeah, it's good setup. God, we are so grateful that you hear our prayers, that you walk with us through our life, and that you want to spend time with us, and that whether we have huge faith in all the things that you are going to do, and we trust you, or whether we are struggling for a mustard seed size, God, you are faithful, and you love us, and we are so grateful for that. May we learn to withdraw to the lonely places and sit with you a while. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.